Good morning. It's time to get up with a Kyrie conundrum. He opted back in with the Nets, but is their relationship all sunshine and rainbows in Brooklyn? Speaking of relationships, the one between Baker Mayfield and the Browns is definitely stormy. The Cleveland quarterback speaks out on where he stands, and we'll tell you where his new home may be. And what's in Wendy's coffee this morning? Brian Windhorst shares one caffeinated NBA deal that will certainly wake you up. And welcome to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. Huge day here, just a day away from the free agent frenzy in the NBA, and that's why we got these guys with us. Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps, ready to go. Adrian Wojnarowski joining us as well, as is Sam Acho and Kimberly A. Martin, all over all things football. We'll get to them in a second, but first we got to start in the NBA because the offseason there is barreling towards free agency. And today, a big decision is looming for James Harden as he needs to make a decision by 5 Eastern on whether he is opting in or out of his $47 million contract for next year. Now, one player who did opt in ahead of today's deadline, the Lakers guard Russell Westbrook. The 9-time All-Star signs up for another year with LeBron. And the Lakers at a price of $47.1 million. And of course, as a reminder, the first domino in the free agency cycle has fallen. Kyrie Irving, he has informed the Nets on Monday that he will also opt in and stay in Brooklyn through next season. So a lot going on. And again, Russ opting into that big deal. But let's bring in our guys and talk about this. And Woj, I'll start with you. Kyrie, he's a Net for now, but is the drama over?
No, I don't know if the drama is over. I think certainly, you know, there's going to have to be something of a reset in Brooklyn as they move forward, not just with Kyrie Irving, but with Kevin Durant. Now, they're both under contract this season. Obviously, Kevin Durant's got 4 years left on his deal, and, you know, essentially Kyrie Irving's on an expiring contract. And I think teams are going to continue to touch base with Brooklyn to make sure that they plan to keep this group together, that they plan to continue to build a team in the offseason around them. And that's what the Nets plan to do. But I think there's going to have to be a point here, either through free agency or in the offseason, where Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant really start to reengage with the organization, with their teammates, with their coaching staff, and really start to do some team building for an organization that still very much has the talent to compete for a championship. And obviously now as free agency starts, their priorities are on trying to keep Patty Mills, Nick Claxton, who they can re-sign. So plenty more options for this Nets team to try and get better. But I think certainly Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they're going to have to lead this team, be leaders. And I think that's going to have to start here in the offseason.
Wow, I find it fascinating that you're talking about resetting and team building. And Wendy, you look at this situation, he opts in, you think, okay, it's all done, let's go for the year, but it doesn't quite seem like it's over.
So Joe Tsai, the owner, and Sean Marks, the general manager, using Joe Tsai's sentiment, made it clear the status quo from last season is not acceptable. And it wasn't just about the vaccine mandate. It was about the way Kyrie Irving treated his teammates, about the way Kyrie Irving treated his coaches. So part of this renegotiation wasn't just going to be about a contract extension. It was going to be about a renegotiation of the way the team operated. And by the way, this wasn't a Kyrie Irving issue. The team gave Irving all of this leverage as the way they operated for the last 3 years. So it was both sides that needed to get together. What's happened here is Kyrie has said, I'm opting in, and I'll see you in the fall. That's not the emotion that needs to happen here, and especially the way Woj just articulated it perfectly. It's not see you in the fall. It's let's have a discussion about how the fall is going to go now. And if those discussions don't go well, or if Kyrie Irving comes back in the fall, and it is an attempt to beat the status quo of the way last season operated, which was a huge failure season, let's be honest, then I think it's not over. So I think right now it's up in the air, and that's I think that's the point.
Already, it's like, is Kyrie still being the guy that we've seen that they want to change? But Tim, I wonder, can you put that genie back in the bottle? Are you going to get a reset that you want if you're the Nets?
Well, that's why this was important, as both Adrian and Brian have articulated, for the Nets to win this opening round in the battle, right? And Kyrie wanted a maximum contract extension, and he didn't get it. And so, you know, his attempt to spin it is, I'm going to be back in the fall, and I'm opting into the deal. But really, that was an admission of him not getting what he wanted, right? And that's really the first step. as Brian said, at many points in the past, Kyrie and Kevin Durant have gotten what they've wanted in Brooklyn. That was sort of what they signed up for, to come and be part, you know, be in control of what they were going to do with this team. Now, the Nets are trying to reset that dynamic, and the beginning of that was getting Kyrie to do this and to opt into this deal and not commit to a long-term deal with him. The next step will be the work that has to come between now and the start of training camp and getting everybody back on the same page.
Yeah, but I come to the same point. How do you get them on the same page if you've already given them the latitude? And, Woj, I'll direct this to you. If they've already set up a scenario where Kyrie is doing things one way and now they're saying it's got to be another way, do they feel confident that that will happen, or is there still some tension around that?
I think there is tension around this Nets organization. This was a acrimonious, you know, something of an acrimonious process. You know, again, like Tim said, Kyrie Irving wanted that long-term extension with the Nets, didn't get it. He tried to find it in sign-and-trade scenarios, specifically with the Lakers, which was his hope, and even elsewhere. There were no sign-and-trade opportunities for him to get his long-term deal elsewhere right now. Now, the Nets could still trade Kyrie Irving if they decided to, and it's easier to trade him as an expiring contract. There would be teams who would take Kyrie Irving on with just this year left on his deal. They're not there. And listen, the goal is to have Kyrie Irving on the floor with Kevin Durant. And I think ultimately Kevin Durant is really going to impact how this goes. And I think, you know, he wanted Kyrie Irving back, certainly. He tried to help in some ways get him that long-term deal. It didn't happen. But he does have him back on the floor. They are both healthy. They have an opportunity to do what they set out to do in Brooklyn, and that's try to win a championship. And I think at some point here, I think, you know, it's going to certainly be incumbent on Kevin Durant, you know, to start, you know, taking the leadership on of this group and this young team. He has done that in the off seasons with his teammates. Guys have gone and spent time and played with him, and certainly he's the very best. But I think that's going to be for the Nets, for Kevin Durant, paramount in trying to, I think, put this group, put a chemistry back together. And see if the Nets can do what they had set out to do again, and that's win the East and play for a championship.
I'm so glad you brought up KD, because, Wendy, it makes me think. I know that Kevin Durant is a guy who's about business. He comes in, he does his work. But at the same time, where does he stand in all of this? And what's his role in terms of holding people accountable?
That is the unknown factor in this, at least to the public. Kevin did a podcast earlier this week where he made it clear that he was taking a step back. He was not getting involved. What Woj is saying and what the Nets are going to say is he does need to get involved on this. And where his feeling is going to guide the way the Nets proceed forward. One thing I know from dealing with Kevin over the years, the thing that really upsets him is when people try to assume or to put how they think he should be thinking in words in his mouth. He has repeatedly said, don't do that. So that's fine. We're going to respect that. I think the Nets will respect that too. But then it is incumbent on him to make himself, you know, his thoughts and feelings known. And that's where the Kyrie future is key. Durant has been a constant and strong partner with Kyrie on this Nets team, sometimes defying common logic why he would support this situation. But he has done it repeatedly. And if he continues to do that, maybe that helps the Nets reset. Maybe it continues to cause a problem. That is why we can't put a bow on this yet. But I will say, Ryan, this team is potentially very, very good.
Potentially.
Ben Simmons, who no one seems to talk about, should be healthy for this season. Joe Harris, one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, should be healthy for this season. Seth Curry, he had off-season surgery. He should be healthy for this season. That is a terrifying five-man lineup, if it all works, but that's a big if.
Yeah, big if, and potentially, and that's what we talk about when we talk about the Nets. Real quick, Tim, do you think that this team can get it all together by the time they get into training camp?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously with everything with Kyrie Irving, it's always maybe is the answer, right? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But the fact that they got this step and got to this point and got this opt-in, I think that is an important step. And it's a, you know, it's a first step. And I think for where things were a few days ago, I think the Nets will be happy to take a first step and see where things go.
Okay, so they're better now than they were a couple days ago, but they're still not out of the woods. That is the Brooklyn Nets in a nutshell for you folks right now. Okay, guys, thanks so much. I want to turn to this. It's the toss of the night. That's what we'll call it. A's, Yankees. Yanks hosting the A's. Bottom first, no score. Aaron Judge at the plate. 2-2 count. Watch this. Frankie Montez strikes out Judge looking. Close call. Aaron Boone not liking that. Okay, so we go to the bottom third. Yanks now up 2-0. Judge once again facing Montez. Pitch looks low again, but Stu Sherwater behind the plate calls a strike. Boone heating up. Bottom eight, same score. Judge at the plate, this time facing Sam Selman. Another close call. And look at Judge's reaction to this, by the way. He's like, what? Boone on fire. Shouting at Sherwater. Then tossed from the game, but he comes out to confront Sherwater. He's getting his money's worth before he exits stage right. But man, this game got fiery. Top nine, Yanks up 2-1. Two out, two on for the A's. Clay Holmes looking to close, and Holmes gets Tony Kemp to ground out to short to end the game. The Yankees secure the 2-1 victory over the A's, despite some controversy over those calls. And look, the Yanks have been around for 120 years, and this season, their 75-game start of 55-20 is tied for the second best in team history. All the other teams on the screen who have had similar starts, the Ruth Yankees in the 20s, the 98 Jeter Yankees, they all won the World Series that year. A sign of things to maybe come this year? We shall see. Well, coming up, speaking of what we shall see, Baker Mayfield, he spoke to the media yesterday and made it clear how he views his relationship with the Browns, what he said, and what happens now. And, folks, we ask this question. Is there a scenario where James Harden could opt out and stay with the Sixers today? Is there? We promise to explain that when we come back on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back, and meanwhile on planet Earth, check this out, folks. Boxing blindfolded. Kmart, Sacho, what do you think about this?
That's what Sacho is like anytime he and I are on TV together. He's just out here trying to hit me, and he just can't. He just keeps misses all the time. But these guys actually know what they're doing.
How are they so close, though? How are they so, like, if I had a blindfold on, I would be literally swinging at the fence. Like, I wouldn't be hitting people, I'd be hitting the referee, I'd be hitting the cage. This is actually, like, they must have, like, some extra senses with their hearing or something, because they're actually connecting. This is dope.
The last guy I want to be is the ref in this. And look, there's, like, 3 refs and a couple other guys in the ring. I mean, how are those guys not getting socked? Anyway, this is the last thing I'm going to try in my life. Watch and enjoy.
We need to implement
folks.
This at ESPN. Any disagreement, forget First Take. Let's start boxing.
Exactly. Speaking of disagreements, guys, to Cleveland, where the estranged Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield spoke on Tuesday, addressing his relationship with the team, and there's a disagreement between the two of them. Let's not mince words there. Now, while he did not completely rule out a possibility of a return, sure doesn't sound likely. Take a listen.
mutual decision on both sides is to move on. You know, I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland.
But I think a lot of people think if they didn't have a quarterback for the next year, would there be any chance of reconciliation there?
No, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out. But we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
Wow. And you know what really stands out to me there about that? Sam Acho, Kimberly Martin joining us. There would have to be some reaching out. What does he mean by that? Kmart, what more can you tell us about Baker Mayfield in this situation as training camp fast approaches?
I thought it was cute of Baker to say, you know, the reconciliation part, reaching out, because it's almost like you've been dumped by a guy and he's already dating other people, but you're standing there saying, if he wants to get back with me, he's got to call me and tell me he's sorry. Like, that's just not happening. He's under contract. So even if a trade doesn't happen, he's going to be with the Browns. Now, never say never. There is a scenario where Baker could still be a Cleveland Brown come training camp in week one, but it is highly unlikely. As Baker said, both sides seem like they're in a good place and want to move on. The Browns just need to hurry up and pull off a trade. Easier said than done, but that's the expectation, that he will be moved at some point, and we won't be talking about Baker in Cleveland much longer.
Yeah, I think it was his way of shading them a little bit, just saying, hey, there need to be some reaching out. You know who I'm talking about, y'all. Acho, how do you see this playing out?
And never say never. I'm going to break that rule. I'm going to say never. Baker Mayfield will not be a Cleveland Brown. There's no way that it happens. I get it that he's under contract. All that makes sense. But sometimes there's something that lies below the surface, like that's not written on paper. The Cleveland Browns were seeking a trade earlier in the offseason, and they achieved that trade in getting Deshaun Watson. At that time, Baker Mayfield knew the relationship was done, even though it might have been on the rocks. And so now that Deshaun Watson may or may not be available this season, even if Cleveland wanted Baker to come back, Baker's not coming back. You saw the smirk. They said, will you come back? He said, no, there would have to be some reaching out, i.e. y'all would have to reach out to me, and I still would say no. And so for me, if I'm Baker Mayfield, number one, I'm not coming back to Cleveland. And number two, I'm going to a place like maybe Carolina or Seattle, where I'll have an opportunity to compete for a starting position, a place where the two quarterbacks there are not proven in the NFL.
Okay, so let's talk about who might reach out. Let's find a team for Baker. Kmar, where do you think he might land?
Yeah, from the beginning, I thought Carolina was the favorite. And if he is traded, Carolina would be the likely destination. And I think it makes sense when you look at that quarterback room. You know, day two of the draft, I was told that Carolina and the Browns were talking about a trade day two of the draft. And there are a lot of inflection points in the season where trades can get done. You know, during the draft, right before minicamp, and training camp is another one. So we're approaching another must-watch time. But I think Carolina, when you look at Sam Darnold, despite what is said publicly, this is an organization, given their interest in Baker, that you can deduce from that they are not 100% sold on Sam, and even though they drafted a young QB in Matt Corral.
Yeah, you know, if they want him, they need to go get him, because training camp fast approaching, he's got to learn the system, all that kind of stuff. You would think that would need to happen sooner rather than later. Sacho, real quick, where do you think he should go?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I think Carolina is a perfect fit. Sam Darnold last year had 9 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. That's not good. Matt Corral, I understand he was a highly touted prospect coming out of college, but he still needs to prove himself. And there have been people in that camp of Panthers saying that he's not ready yet. They said he still has a lot to learn. And so I think Carolina would be a great fit no matter how much posturing the Panthers are doing.
Okay, thanks, guys. And let's keep it in Cleveland, by the way, and turn to another quarterback who's been in the news a lot, Deshaun Watson. His hearing before the NFL and the NFL Players Association's jointly appointed disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, will resume on Wednesday. Watson's been accused by 25 women of actions ranging from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Now, Kmart, I want to bring you back in and ask, what do we know?
So, Ryan, as of now, we don't know a whole lot because this is unprecedented. We know that Sue Robinson is the jointly appointed disciplinary officer here. The day one concluded yesterday. It's resuming today. It could possibly go into tomorrow, actually. When a resolution is reached, it's unclear. The NFL... we expect them to argue that Deshaun Watson should be suspended for at least a year. We expect the NFLPA to counter with the fact that there have been 2 grand juries who have declined to press criminal charges against Deshaun Watson, and also the NFL's punishment when it comes to violations of the personal conduct policy have been inconsistent. So there you have it, Ryan. This situation is long from being over, but it seems like we're nearing the final stretch, hopefully.
Yeah, it should be interesting how they end up ruling Sue Robinson here. And again, it can't be said enough. This is the first time she's ruling on a case like this and ruling in this particular new situation. So it will be interesting to see how she comes down on this decision. Kimberly, thank you. Well, time now to run the bases. And we're starting with the Braves and the Phillies. Matt Olson homered twice, count twice, on the way to a 5-3 win over the Phils. Second time he's done that in a game this season, and the 13th in his career. Meanwhile, White Sox, Angels, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani hit back-to-back homers. Ohtani went 3-for-3 with a walk, 2 doubles, 2 RBIs on the night before his next mound start. But the White Sox won 11-4. And then the Red Sox and Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit the game-winning single in the 9th inning, and the Blue Jays rallied to beat the Sox 6-5. So big win for them. Well, coming up, Harden. Is it a hard call? He's got a big decision to make today. Why opting out of an option he holds might bring big things for he, Embiid, and the Sixers.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to wake up. Let's get to a wake-up call, shall we? Let's take us to the pit. Let's go to the pitch. Listen to Sebastian Salazar on the call as Kelly O'Hara scores for the U.S. in their 2-0 win over Colombia.
U.S. turned backward at the edge of the box. Sanchez to the back post for Rodman. O'Hara. Golazo! Didn't have to wait long for the second. Kelly O'Hara strikes.
It's a good rip.
Right? Nice.
I just still can't believe Dennis Rodman's daughter is the star of the US.
I know, making it happen.
It's a sign of how old I'm.
And by the way, speaking of stars, let's shine a little spotlight on some potential free agent moves we may see this offseason. Wendy, let's start with the Warriors.
They need to keep Kevon Looney. He's their starting center, and he's an unrestricted free agent. He plays a really important role on their defense. And longer term, not in this next week, Andrew Wiggins is eligible for a contract extension.
Yeah, they're going to be doling out a lot of money. Okay, and then what about the Lakers?
So the Lakers need everything, but they only got 6 years under contract. But they've got to somehow convince Malik Monk to take their tax mid-level exception, which is $6.5 million. I believe his value is probably around double that, maybe even more. There's not a whole lot of teams with cap space, but for him to stay for that $6 million, he's leaving millions on the table for a guy who hasn't made a big contract yet. If they get Malik Monk to stay, that will be a real victory for them.
I just love these narratives that come out around this time. We just want you to do what's best for the team. It's like, no, Malik Monk, do what's best for your bank account.
Yeah, that doesn't
exist. By the way, if we're talking about Malik Monk taking a discount on a team that didn't make the play-in tournament mm-hmm. last year, that is a very simple summation of where the Lakers are at.
Yeah.
Not a good place.
And by the way, can I give a very simple summation of where the Knicks are right now? What in the world is happening with this team? I got to talk about these guys because they've been very busy in recent days. Yesterday, Woj reported that the Knicks traded Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks to the Pistons, clearing $19 million in salary cap space. They're now able to make a big contract offer for Jalen Brunson. Now, you know Brunson. He was the guy playing alongside Luka, making it happen for the Mavericks in the playoffs. They want this guy. What are the Knicks doing, Tim?
Well, the Knicks are a desperate team that's doing desperate things. And one of them is going to get Jalen Brunson, who has relationships with Leon Rose, who is his agent, Tom Thibodeau, who has hired Rick Brunson, his father, to be on his staff. They've all known him forever. But really, this is about a Knicks team that has spent years trying to get guys to come to New York, hasn't been able to get them, and now they have a guy who wants to come there. And
so but how much are they going to pay him?
They're going to pay him a lot of money, a lot more than most other teams would pay him and a lot more than Dallas would pay him, which is why Dallas is losing their second-best player off a team that went to the Western Conference Finals.
By the way, just to give you context, Dallas could have extended him before the season.
And they chose
not to. Dallas, and that price was around $55 million. Dallas, he doubled that price.
Dallas literally could have paid him half as much in January. Jalen Brunson said, I will re-sign with you guys now if you give me 4 for $55. Dallas said, we'll wait. Now they lost him for twice that much.
So let me get this straight, Wendy. He has, and again, I'm not trying to knock Jalen Brunson. He was awesome in the playoffs. He's not an all-star. He's about to make nine figures from the Nets. So I ask again, what are the Knicks doing?
So the Knicks have $30 million in salary cap space now, and they also have something that nobody else has. They have eight mm-hmm. tradable first-round picks. They have 11 in sort of in the next 7 years, but they can trade eight of them. So that actually gives them some options. The question is, do they use some of that now, or do they wait for another player down the line to say he wants to be traded and then go for it? League executives last night were saying, is this all there is? Is Jalen Brunson their big move? Or are they trying to go after another player in potential to pair with Jalen Brunson? Maybe there's something else in the offing. Dallas is willing, I believe, to do a sign and trade with Jalen Brunson. That would mean the Knicks could potentially have cap space to do other things. Dallas already realizes they're losing him. The Knicks don't need a sign and trade. They can now sign Brunson straight up. But there are maybe some other things that in the trade market that the Knicks could be doing. So let's watch and see over the next 3 or 4 days whether or not the Knicks have something else that they're hiding.
And can I tell you,
yep.
I feel like the anger has, I know for me, dissipated off the Knicks, always getting angry at every, you know, everything that's non-splashy that they do. But do I love it? No. Am I okay with it? Jalen, yeah, because I feel like Jalen Brunson, maybe the price has been inflated because you've seen the way he's played in the playoffs. But I will say this about him, man. Mm-hmm. I played with his dad. The dude is a winner. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy that comes to practice and plays hard daily. And there is something about the culture that he can help enhance mm-hmm. around R.J. Barrett. So is the price inflated? Yes, it is. But as we see, as the market goes up, a lot of these players are going to get paid more than what their value is.
But let me ask you this. Is he a superstar?
I'm not going to say Jalen Brunson's a superstar.
Okay. Don't the Knicks need a superstar desperately in New York?
Yes.
Yeah, but yes. But, I mean, you still build towards having a superstar. Don't you?
The problem for the Knicks, though, and I agree with you about everything you said about Jalen Brunson. He won at Villanova. He's won in Dallas. He's a winning player. The Knicks need winning players. The problem is The Knicks are now stuck with a team that's got hundreds of millions of dollars tied up in pretty good players. And to your point, Brian, they don't have a path right now to go get a star, which is why they're getting Jalen Brunson. They don't have anybody else to get. And it's a start, but it's nowhere near where this team needs to be. I don't know if this team is going to be in the play-in tournament next year.
That's crazy.
After doing this.
You look at what they've got committed to Evan Fournier, what they've got committed to Julius Randle. This commitment would go $300 million in those three players.
Wow. And that's before they have to potentially extend R.J. Barrett this summer.
And then R.J. Barrett, potentially, if they give him the full max, would be a $400 million on those four. I don't know how many all-star appearances you're going to get out of those four.
Oh, players. I'm not condoning Evan Fournier and the rest of the cast. I am to a degree on Jalen Brunson.
No, no.
I'm just talking about Jalen Brunson.
No one is trying to say Jalen Brunson isn't a great player, and I'm really happy that he might get a huge payday. What I'm asking is, the Knicks fans out there, all they care about is having superstars, winners. They want a title again. Are they anywhere close to that with this deal?
No.
So why do this deal?
Well, as I said at the beginning, the Knicks are a desperate team that are doing desperate things. This is a desperate thing. And they have struck out time and again. They signed Julius Randle a couple summers ago because they went into that summer thinking maybe we'll get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Maybe we'll get somebody else. Everybody turned them down. They ended up with Julius Randle and a bunch of role players. That's the Knicks have been for years.
After we had a lot of superstars demanding trades for a four-year span, as the Knicks have positioned themselves to trade for a superstar, we've had a bit of the market's kind of dried out. A lot of the superstars are extending their contracts. So, and then the Knicks haven't exactly made themselves as fertile as it that's their idea. Their idea is that they're going to take some of the players they have and they're going to take all these draft picks and eventually get that player. But obviously it hasn't come to
fruition. That is the funny thing. To Brian's point, the Knicks have finally positioned themselves to have the assets to get a star, and there's no stars to get.
Okay. Well, there you go, Knicks fans. Enjoy. Now, speaking of enjoy, maybe Sixers fans have something to enjoy. Let's shift gears and talk about James Harden. He's apparently been working hard this offseason. Look at Harden running the stairs. He's got a big decision to make today regarding his player option with the 76ers. But look, he's putting in the work, and that's what Sixers fans, I think, want to see. So let's talk a little bit about him. Brian, what do we know right now about Harden and this contract option decision?
The expectations, he is going to remain with the Sixers. He has a $47 million option for next year, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to pick it up. The Sixers, right now, with where they are in the luxury tax, they are very restricted what they can spend. So James Harden could agree to a new three-year contract, but what he could do is he could opt out today and lower his salary, which would free up money for the Sixers. Not cap space, but it would free up them to use their full mid-level exception, which is $10 million. The reason that's interesting is the expectation is they are going to be chasing P.J. Tucker. They love P.J. Tucker coming into this organization, but to get the money to compete with the Miami Heat, who want to keep P.J. Tucker, they need to shed some salary somehow. So if it's not with Harden reducing his salary on a long-term deal by opting out and then re-signing, they would have to make another deal to be able to afford the P.J. Tucker market.
Okay, so
remember when James Harden turned down a chance to make $50 million a year in Houston? So, like, I see.
He turned it down last year in Brooklyn.
That's right, last year in Brooklyn, too. For me, it just goes back to, like, look, I think P.J. Tucker could be one of the missing links for this team because of the toughness that he brings to the table.
So tough.
And I think it's extremely additive to the culture that already exists within Philly.
Remember, Joel Embiid, at the end of Game 6 when they lost to Miami, went on a two-minute soliloquy about how much the Sixers need a guy, as Ryan knows, like P.J. Tucker.
Yep, and you know what? I'd welcome him with open arms. But I get back to Harden. Jay, what do you need to see from him this offseason? And do you think he can be that top five guy again?
Top five?
Yes.
You don't need him
go ahead.
Right. First off,
it's the Sixers fan in me coming out.
Let's break down a couple things, right? It's a world of absolutes that we live in. Pain scale doesn't always equate to top five.
That's true.
Right? Do you need James Harden to be a top five player to win a championship? No, I actually don't. I think the pieces that you need Joel Embiid to be healthy. You need him to be healthy. You need the additive pieces to work. The injury for him, I think, last year played into who I think he became throughout the course of the season. But I still think him as a distributor, him as a guy that can make shots, and him being in shape, if you're questioning the shape of James Harden, that is able to be questioned. But I think him playing that kind of pseudo point guard role combined with the pieces of Joel Embiid being healthy is enough to have this team there when it's all said and done.
Do you think he gets in the kind of shape he needs to be in this offseason?
I mean, that's what we're waiting to find out. Having videos like this and hearing it internally definitely lets you know it's moving hopefully in the right direction.
So, Tim, if if Harden makes this move, what's Philly's ceiling? When you talk about this, possibly P.J. Tucker, what's the ceiling in Philly?
If they get P.J. Tucker with DeAnthony Melton, with some other moves that Daryl Morey will probably be able to make to round things out around the edges, I think this team is good enough, if Joel Embiid is healthy, which he wasn't in the playoffs, to be right at the top of the East. Like, I think they have that potential. But, again, it's a lot of talk about potential on a lot of fronts. Joel Embiid is never healthy. James Harden has obviously not always been in shape. We don't know if they're going to get P.J. Tucker. But if this comes together and they get P.J. Tucker, who is exactly the kind of guy they need, I think they have a chance to be that good because Tyrese Maxey is really good. He's going to get better. Harden last year averaged 20-10 with a hamstring that wasn't all the way right. And Joel Embiid might have been the MVP of the league. Like, they have a ton of talent. And these teams at the top of the East, we spent the top of the show talking about the Nets. The Nets have flaws. The Celtics have flaws. The Bucks have flaws. The Heat have flaws. They're going to lose maybe P.J. Tucker. There is an opening there for Philly. They have to, though, actually take advantage of.
Can they win the East?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, legit yes. chance. Right.
When they traded for Harden, they lost their depth. This summer is about rebuilding their depth. DeAnthony Melton was this piece. P.J. Tucker was a piece. And it wouldn't surprise me if they had another piece or two. I think this team is going to be very formidable.
Okay, so maybe there's some hope for Philadelphia. How about that? Go figure. That's what we're doing today. All right, coming up next, here is our next WNBA game, a Saturday matinee on ESPN. And the app, Diana Taurasi, Skylar Diggins-Smith, and the Mercury are in Chicago, taking on Candace Parker and the East-leading Sky. Coverage begins 1 Eastern, noon Central. Well, it's been a well-documented, bumpy road for Carson Wentz the last couple years. Should we expect anything different in D.C. this season? We'll talk about that when we come back on Get Up.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Let's play a little game of put up or shut up NFL style. Kmart joining us. Kmart, what do you want to see Dak Prescott put up this year?
Ryan, first off, I want to see Dak Prescott just remain healthy for 17 games. When he is healthy and he's playing a full season, this guy puts up over 4,000 yards. I want to see him test defenses with his legs a little bit. And this Cowboys team, they haven't won back-to-back. They haven't had back-to-back 10-plus win seasons. I want this to be the first time since 1996 they've been able to do that.
Okay, now what about Jalen Hurts? What do you want to see him put up this year?
Oh, for your QB, Ryan, I just want to see Jalen keep improving. I want to see him improve his decision-making and his accuracy as a passer. And his tight end, Dallas Goedert, recently said the ball in practice seems to get out quicker. He seems to be going through his progressions. The game seems to have slowed down a little bit for him. So I love all that.
I'll take improvement in a couple playoff wins. Nothing big. What do you want to see from Daniel? Exactly. What do you want to see from Daniel Jones? What do you want him to put up?
Oh, man, talk about decision making. I want to see this kid take care of the football. I want to see him grasp this new offense, and I want to see him learn, be under Brian Daboll, just on his hip constantly, because this guy helped Josh Allen unlock all that potential, and hopefully Daniel Jones can do that here in New York.
Yeah, you know what? It's tough for him. You would love to see him be better this year. We'll have to see how that plays out. Now, speaking of the NFC East, Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin signing a 3-year extension worth up to $71 million in new money. It places him among the NFL's 5 highest paid receivers. McLaurin's going to be catching passes from his new quarterback, Carson Wentz. So I bring back Kmart Nacho. And Nacho, what do you expect from Carson Wentz playing on his third team in 3 years?
Well, I expect him to be better. Carson Wentz playing on his third team in 3 years, but the Washington Commanders have had 8 different starting quarterbacks in the last 3 years. Yeah. And so I would expect him to be better. The way that Carson Wentz ended the season last year was abysmal with the loss of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a game if you win, essentially you're in. And so now you have Terry McLaurin, one of the best receivers you probably have played with in your career. And then you have Jahan Dotson, who they just drafted, who's a first-round talent, first-round pick out of Penn State. Add to that a healthy Curtis Samuel. I expect better. I'm not expecting MVP season, but better than what we saw last season.
Okay, and you look at the numbers right there, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and then he's got the assets on offense. Kmart, what version of Wentz should we expect to see this season? People always talk about the MVP year of 2017, but recently it hasn't been anywhere near that.
Ryan, I don't know, man. If I had a crystal ball, like, I'd tell you. But honestly, only a higher power knows exactly what Carson Wentz we are going to see. Because talent is not this guy's issue. Every place he's been, he's had a roster. He's had a team. He's had weapons. He has a great situation in Washington. The question is, in games, in critical moments, can he not turn the football over? Can he not throw interceptions? Can he win you games when you need to? And so far, that Philly year that everybody keeps referencing, the reason he keeps getting jobs, that to this point has been the aberration. So Carson is a great situation. He now has Terry McLaurin back, one of his best weapons. So these two, after McLaurin was away most of this offseason, these two have to get on the same page, build up that chemistry during training camp, and hit the ground running.
Yeah, and Acho, you mentioned he's got to not have that faltering late season, and you saw his record over the past two seasons.
Yeah.
What, just in a nutshell, what do you think in Carson Wentz's makeup is holding him back?
Man, I couldn't tell you, honestly. That's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, and I see Kmart's point, right? There could be a mental aspect. When you're an athlete, if mentally you don't have confidence, or mentally your confidence has been shot, whether because of a coach or something that someone has said, it can be hard to overcome that. I remember my fourth year in the NFL, 2014, I'd broken my leg. The year before, I tied for second on the Cardinals sack record. I was starting, interception, sacks, all the things. Had a broken leg, I wasn't playing overly well, and my teammates were saying negative things about me. My coaches, the media. It took me a while to start believing in myself again, extend my career. And so maybe there's a mental piece there. But also what I would say is this. If Carson Wentz can have a game or a moment, a critical moment, where he succeeds, mm-hmm. that may be all that you need to get over the mental hump that you may have in yourself.
Yeah, you tell people all the time, you just need a win. Kmart, what do you think?
I hope Acho's right. I think he needs more than just one critical moment. He's got to sustain that throughout a whole season, because we do end up believing, like, oh, there's that Carson. That's the Carson. And then the next week something happens. I think what happened in Indy for Frank Reich, for those guys to say, you know what, thank you for your time, but we need to move on, I think that was huge. And I think Carson has got to look at this Washington opportunity as his last shot, because that hopefully will make something click where he doesn't falter again and he keeps progressing in his career.
Go ahead, Sancho,
real
quick.
And if I could add one quick thing to what Kmart said. Kmart, you made one of the greatest statements I've heard, at least as a player. One of my coaches, Mac Brown, used to always say, consistently good to be great. If you want to be great, it's not about having one or two or three great moments. You have to be consistently good. And so if we could see Carson Wentz, or anybody for that matter, be consistently good, that's the path to greatness. It's not about a one-time or a two-time thing. Do it on a consistent manner, and then all of a sudden you will be among the greats.
It's a great point. And you think about Carson Wentz, it seems like he's oftentimes looking for the homer, maybe the singles and the doubles, and get those done, and we'll see where that leads you. And speaking of singles and doubles, let's turn to baseball, because there was big news in baseball. Freddie Freeman left the Braves. You know, he landed with the Dodgers. There was shock within the industry because of Freeman's history in Atlanta. Now Freeman has fired the agency that represented him in off-season negotiations, Excel Sports Management. This is sneaky big news, and that's why we wanted to bring Buster Olney in on this. This was your reporting yesterday. We saw so much emotion over the weekend from Freeman as the teams faced each other. Tell us a little bit more about this. What's the impact of all of this on the field?
Yeah, so the emotion that you saw on the field over the weekend, yes, a lot of it for Freddie Freeman was gratitude for the response from Braves fans while he was with the team and then when he returned over the weekend. But in talking with friends of Freeman, they also believe that there was a lot of sadness and there was a lot of anger, because his first choice at the beginning of the negotiations with the Braves 16 months ago was to remain with the team. And in the end, he wound up with the Dodgers. for a contract when you factor in deferred money. $57 million of the $162 is deferred and state tax. He actually got less money. So he makes the move on Sunday to dismiss his agents. He was listed yesterday as being self-represented. There are still conversations going on between Freddie and XL, which he referenced in his statement yesterday. Maybe they patch it up, but he was very angry, as he told friends with the Braves over the weekend, with how this played out.
Wow. I don't know if you know this part of it, but when you talk about Freddie Freeman and where he is now, how do things stand with him and the Dodgers?
Yeah, and there were definitely Dodger players had their eyebrows raised a little bit by how emotional he was over the weekend. You saw that comment from Clayton Kershaw saying that he hopes the Dodgers aren't second fiddle. Freddie told reporters yesterday he's talked to Clayton about that. And here's the bottom line, Ryan. As this is all playing out, the last eight games, the three games leading up to the series in Atlanta, then the series in Atlanta, the last two games, Freddie's hitting .412. With a .487 on base percentage, slugging percentage over .700. In the end, as one evaluator told me yesterday, it really tells you just what an amazing hitter Freddie is, that he's able to perform while feeling this kind of emotion.
The guy is just unbelievable, especially during a time like this and what he must be going through just mentally and psychologically. Now, speaking of what somebody's going through, I mean, Bryce Harper, devastating injury over the weekend, broke his left thumb on that ugly hit by pitch. Should we expect to see him on the field again this season?
Yes. The Phillies, he's going to have surgery on that thumb. And the Phillies' hope is that he's back somewhere in the range of 6 to 8 weeks. Now, he's had an elbow issue this year, and in theory, they could conceivably say, you know what, let's shut it down, get the thumb taken care of, get the elbow taken care of. But, Brian, they're not going to do that. They're trying to win this year. They're all in. They spent all that money in spring training for Kyle Schwarber, for Nicholas Castellanos. They have a team record $230 million payroll. They have an older roster, so they're going for a playoff spot. And as we sit here this morning, they're four games out in the race for the third wild card. I've spoken with executives and potential sellers leading up the trade deadline, and they say the Phillies are posturing as if they're going to be making additions. So, yeah, they're going to try to bolster the team in advance of Bryce coming back.
Wow, no matter what addition they make, they cannot replace Bryce Harper, because he is certainly the straw that stirs the drink in Philly. Buster, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And speaking of baseball, our Sunday night baseball matchup, Cardinals, Phillies, 7 Eastern, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio. Our coverage begins 6 Eastern with baseball tonight, Sunday night countdown. Michael Kay and A-Rod are going to have their K-Rod presentation on ESPN2. Well, the Kyrie versus Nets saga ended when he opted in this week, right? Well, maybe not. We'll explain why and what KD might be thinking right now.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.